League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your teams, our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Buster Olney, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. Buster, so much ground to get to you, to get with you. Thanks for coming on, hanging out with the Killer Bees. I want to ask you about the whole baseball ordeal. How much stock are you putting into this study that there could be three different baseballs that were used, Goldilocks balls, and that they might have been more prominent at Yankee Stadium than anywhere else?
Yeah, and I began to hear about this about a month ago, and you know, some of the information. Look, I find it to be incredible that we boomerang back and forth between, you know, a quality of baseball one day, one particular quality of baseball, and then it feels like it veers, whether it's in a month or 2 months or a year. I don't know independently, exactly what the impact of all that is, but it's way, way past the time to be having this conversation. They should have solved this, I think, with some sort of a baseball with a tacky surface years ago, something that would be more consistent than what it's been. But I'm sure that there'll be more questions about that asked about that as we go forward.
Yeah, Buster, I'm curious real quick. I mean, my opinion on the whole thing is no matter what happens, whether it's a third-party arbiter or getting some kind of courts involved or something, they can own the company, but the fact that they own Rawlings, they can't also dictate the different baseballs manufactured and used. I think somewhere something has to be done to where this has to be eliminated from any future discussions about Major League Baseball.
I completely agree with you. You know, a couple of years ago, when the All-Star game was in Cleveland, I remember walking in accidentally into the middle of a conversation between Dan Halen, was Rob Manfred's right-hand man, and Max Scherzer, who was at that point the de facto head of the union. And Max is basically saying, look, you can't change the baseballs without talking to us. And at that time, Major League Baseball was saying, yeah, that's not something that we did. But, I mean, time after time after time, we have this evidence that the baseball's been altered. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you, we need to get to a point where everybody's got to have confidence in the composition of the baseball, whether it's the players, whether it's the media, whether it's fans. Now, it is a private business. They're going to run it the way – it's not like this is something that's subject to, constitutional law. They can do with it what they want, but I think for the integrity of the game, for the sake that, every time that, we have this foreign substance conversation, we have a conversation about the composition of the baseball, they're just creating problems for themselves. And I wish they would get a standard about the baseball and just move on. Can you imagine if in the NBA, every game it feels like we're wondering, is the diameter of the basketball been altered? Can you imagine how different that sport would feel if that was a recurring conversation? It's been something that's been going on in baseball for years.
Yeah. Could you imagine if the greatest quarterback in the NFL all of a sudden took a little bit of air out of a football? Buster Olney joining us on the HRP guest line, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. You brought up the integrity because, we love baseball. I know that you love baseball, and you go back to the 90s. I mean, you're talking about steroids. You're talking about making Bonds, Palmeiro, Maguire, Sosa the face of steroids. We knew that it was rampant. We look at the sign-stealing scandal. The Astros, the face of sign-stealing scandal, when we know that it was going on all across Major League Baseball. And now you have the balls, the foreign substance, all of this. And as much as we love baseball, it's hard to take Robert Manfred seriously.
Well, every time we get one of these, it's amazing how the tentacles lead back to a point of inaction by Major League Baseball. If you go back to the sign-stealing scandal, I wrote a piece about this. in early September of 2017 when the Red Sox and Yankees had their sign-stealing issues, and in the end, both teams wound up being reprimanded by Major League Baseball. I wrote an article at the beginning of September basically saying, look, the commissioner needs to come down with the hammer and say, if you engage in this, we're going to kick you out of the sport. But they essentially stood back, slapped those two teams on the wrist, and guess what? In that vacuum, we got the Astros sign-stealing scandal. You know, 2 years ago, during the 21 season, we had the foreign substance issue with pitchers, and they came out with the rules. They had a crackdown. It was pretty clear from the spin rates midway through this year that a lot of pitchers had gone back to cheating. In fact, if I watched a game with you two guys, the three of us could sit there and watch the pitchers and the way they use their hands and they rub their forearms. You're like, yep, that guy's using stuff there. It was happening during the postseason. It kind of made me pull my hair out because I feel like if they just applied the rules, if they had just enforced the rules, as uncomfortable as that might be, that would stop. But they don't, and they constantly create these type of situations.
Buster, I'm curious, because of the fact there's been so much made of it, too, as we get it back to an Astros conversation. James Click, the situation of a general manager winning a World Series, a lot of the moves he made, you know, a lot of people thought he was doing a very good job. Obviously, Jim Crane didn't. Jim Crane not only made the move, but he went kind of old school. He went to Jeff Bagwell and Reggie Jackson and is making moves where he is seemingly in charge of everything. Your take on what's going on with the Astros and the move to not bring back James Click?
Yeah, and it was not a surprise. You know, I was hearing stuff in the middle of 2021 that the Crane wasn't happy. And there were already, among ownership circles, people speculating, you know what, at some point David Stearns is going to wind up back with the Astros. And that still wouldn't surprise me. It makes sense for him to go back to Houston. You know, someone who Crane knows well. And here's the other part, too. I'd say this, you know, because he's gotten a lot of criticism, Jim Crane has, about the choice. I think that his understanding of baseball goes beyond a lot of other owners. You know, I've heard stories about, yeah, he gets involved, but I also think he has a good feel for players. He's a good feel for clubhouses, and he does listen to people who he finds to be credible. And among those was Dusty Baker, who, as you guys know, before the trade deadline, when the Astros were talking about Wilson Contreras, it was Dusty Baker who was saying, no, the strength of our team is pitching. Martin Maldonado is the backbone of that strength. Please don't undercut that by bringing in a, you know, potential free agent in Wilson Contreras who needs to play. Essentially, Dusty went over James Click's head. And Jim Crane overruled that. They moved on. They didn't make the deal. Crane also was the one, if you guys remember, back in 17, who basically forced Jeff Luhnow to go and make the deal for Verlander. I do think, among owners that I've covered and been around, he has a good feel for teams. Now, I think it's important in this era, he's got to go out and get himself someone who's steeped in analytics, who has an understanding of that, but also someone who can find a balance. And I think that Stearns eventually will be in that position and be that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Buster, about finding an analytical guy. I think he ultimately will. He's hired two GMs. They've been Jeff Luhnow. Yep. They've been James Click. They've been analytical. I think that Crane understands the value of that long-term and eventually will sign that guy. Buster Olney joining us on the HR&P guest line from ESPN. You know him well. Does a tremendous job. Buster, the Astros have been, you know, rumored to be basically in on everybody. They've had a busy offseason. Montero re-signed, signed Abreu. Justin Verlander goes. They've been kicking the tires on seemingly every left-handed bat. Wilson Contreras, of course, signs with the Cardinals today. What's left out there for the Astros? What do you think they get done the rest of the offseason?
A left-handed hitter of some kind. And the question is, to what degree do they want to go with that commitment? You know, early in this offseason, I had someone who was in a position who would have some knowledge of this, predicted that, you know, Michael Brantley at some point, it might be a guy who would come back. Andrew Benintendi is probably the second best guy on that list of potential outfielders that they would land. You know, he's someone who had a terrific year last year. He altered his swing, the defender. He got hurt at the end of the year. My guess is, based on what agents are telling me, he's going to get something in the range of $80 or $90 million. You know, Brandon Nimmo is at the top of that food chain among left-handed hitting outfielders. He's probably going to get somewhere, you know, north of $100 million. My instinct is that that's not where the Astros go. I mean, the one thing I think we've seen about Crane and how he does business, you know, and we saw it with Verlander, he's willing to spend, but he's also not willing to go at the top of the board necessarily in how much he spent. So I do think that, you know, Benintendi is someone who potentially could make some sense. I think he'd be very comfortable playing in Houston. And he demonstrated in that series back in 2018. He's pretty comfortable.
Oh, don't bring that up, Buster. Don't bring that up. Don't bring up Joe West either with that call in right field of Mookie Betts.
Okay.
Hey, Buster, real quick on another front, too, with the way the Astros were, I don't want to say chasing, but pursuing Contreras, a guy that I was very comfortable with being on this team is Vasquez. And I'm curious with the market for Vasquez, and obviously he'll be a lot cheaper than Contreras. Is there a chance Vasquez could come back to the Astros?
It makes sense. I can't tell you that I have first-hand information that they're deep into that. You know, the question is going to be cost, you know, especially Vasquez now in the middle of his career. I know this. They really felt like that Maldonado and Vasquez are great together. They're friends. There was a mutual respect there. And you would assume, you know, with Martin being older, as he gets older, that they'll, you know, that they probably begin the process of transitioning him out of a, you know, guy who rely on every day. Vasquez showed, you know, he can handle that relationship. He can handle that pitching staff. My guess is based on, you know, if Contreras wound up at $87.5 million, my guess is that Vasquez is probably going to be somewhere in the $40 to $50 million range. Is that something they want to do? We'll see. And I do think that, I mean, look, James Click's, apparent evaluation that they need an upgraded offense made sense to some degree. And I think, you know, the big concern, as you guys know, about Contreras was not, hey, this is a bad guy, we don't want him on the team. The question was, how quickly can you get the guy comfortable with the pitching staff, and effective in working that pitching staff? And Vasquez would make a lot of sense in that regard because he'd be comfortable right out of the gate.
Buster, really appreciate the conversation.
For sure.
Enjoyed the conversation. Hope to do it again very soon.
Okay, guys. Good to talk with you.
It's Buster Olney, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN. He said he wasn't surprised about James Click being let go. Maybe one of few. Crane wasn't happy for a while.
He was talking about it for quite a while.
Yeah, a couple of the names mentioned, and also he mentioned a left-handed hitter of some kind. What kind do the Astros need to be in the market for their offseason goal? 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I know the temperature out there doesn't feel like the holidays just yet. Maybe it doesn't make you want to go out and see all the lights and get your tree up, but it might make you realize you could turn the temperature up in areas of your house as well if you get the right gift this holiday season. And again, you don't want to go to the mall, you don't want to look for a parking spot, you don't want to deal with the crowds and even wrapping the gift. You don't have to. All you got to do is go to Pajamagram, because Pajamagram has the gift that keeps on giving. It's perfect for you and your significant other. It'll be the perfect gift under the tree this year. It's naturally nude jammies. It's the naturally nude pajamas only and exclusively at Pajamagram, and they feel just like her soft skin. They're more alluring than lingerie. Texture and touch of these things, so seductive, you're both going to love the feel of them. And I keep telling you, it's the gift keep on giving. You buy it for her, you reap the benefits when she wears it for you. It doesn't leave anything to the imagination. It's only between the two of you inside your house or apartment. You're going to love the way she looks wearing them, and you're going to love the results that you can get out of being around her when she wears them. Order today. Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie. That's a $75 value, so it's another gift on top of the original gift. And again, it keeps on giving. It's a gift for you, too. Ordering today also gets you free gift wrapping. That means it's taking care of all the details, so you look like a hero, and you don't have to do anything but go to Pajamagram.com. It's fantastic. Here's what you do. Pajamagram.com right now. Pajamagram.com. Naturally nude pajamas. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by. You're going to love what you get. She's going to love it, too.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees are buying you dinner. ESPN 97.5 buying you dinner. We're giving away $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long. Part of our season of giving. We're giving one away each hour. Wheelhouse will be giving three of them away from 3 to 7 as well. So make sure you're plugged in to ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5 all day. A good interview with Buster Olney. You can find that somewhere on the internet. ESPN975.com. I'm kidding. You can find it at ESPN975.com. A couple of things I want to get to that Buster Olney shared with us. Before we do that, though, Ledmus Diaz has signed with the Oakland Athletics. $14 million total over 2 years. Congratulations to Ledmus Diaz getting paid, but he gone. He no longer a Houston Astro.
Kind of assumed that, whether it be Yuli or somebody else, that there was going to be an opportunity, and you've got guys on your roster that look like they could be the younger, better version of Ledmus Diaz. But thank you again for your time and service here. It's like the Verlander parting of company.
Not quite.
No, I'm just saying, but there are guys that you know, we'll always remember sure. as being valuable on this golden era run of Houston Astros baseball. But you pretty much assumed at the end of the year with the other options you have and the things that were going through the owner's mind, he wasn't going to be an Astro. Tip your cap. Thanks for the memories. Good luck to you wherever you end up, and we'll end up being just fine.
Yeah, if there's thoughts that Yuli can be your backup yep. corner infielder, more of an emergency third baseman, backup first baseman, part-time DH, then probably made Ledmus Diaz on this team expendable.
I hope this doesn't mean that there's a chance for Dubon.
I mean, Dubon's a utility guy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because he can play shortstop, which I don't think you'd ever put Yuli at shortstop.
No.
So you're going to need a backup shortstop. Yeah. He's just your...
Well, I mean, you have two internal options, Dubon and Hensley.
Hensley's the guy, too, that I was thinking about in terms of the younger version of could be the next Diaz.
Yeah, you're not going to commit $14 million to a Ledmus whenever you have Dubon and Hensley. And I don't think Dubon's great, but he's a good guy to have on the bench that can play every position. And then Hensley kind of became famous, right? Got into a little bit of Astro lore.
He's playing his boy now.
They're tight?
They hang together. They went to the Rockets game together. They've been hanging together. So I think that, in a way, is also a good thing for him.
Favorite Hensley, David or Robert?
Robert had better hair.
Yeah, but Robert didn't get the plate appearance that extended game one in the ALDS.
Or the at-bat that got the win against the Yankees here in that doubleheader.
It's a tight race. Maybe we'll put a Twitter poll.
Yeah, we might need a poll over that one.
Olney says that not surprised about James Click. Crane wasn't happy. I heard 2-3 years ago that there was people within the Astros front office that thought that James Click was in over his head. I didn't believe it. I honestly still don't believe it. I think that James Click's a fine general manager. I think he's pretty good. Now, me saying that I think James Click's pretty good doesn't mean that I feel like James Click was must-have. I have no issue with Crane parting ways with James Click, especially after James Click started running his mouth about the Houston Astros owner. Little surprised, though, that this was making the rounds around Major League Baseball even before the postseason that James Click, he might not be back with the Houston Astros, and that Jim Crane has been unhappy with James Click for quite some time. I think this goes back to the previous offseasons where Crane was like, here's money, go spend my money, and Click refused to spend money that wasn't his.
Yeah, no, look, I think that, and we talked about this, it's not that he's not a very good analytical mind in baseball. We know he's going to end up with another job, but part of the business is the communication and the dialogue that happens between ownership and you doing your job. And as it relates to further down the pie chain, or the food chain, your conversations with your manager. We knew there was conflict with Dusty Baker. We knew there were disagreements, if not conflict. We knew that there were, you know, two sides to a lot of different stories that were transpiring within the organization. And then the bigger, more important issue is the dialogue with Jim Crane. I really believed he walked around tiptoeing around Crane for the most part. I believe that to some degree he might have even been scared to talk to Crane. That's not something you can do as a general manager to do your job effectively. You've got to be able to present everything to ownership, especially with a hands-on owner like Crane, and then face the consequences. He may like some. He might call you crazy for others. But you know what he's going to call you out? He's going to call your bluff and be pissed off if you don't bring to him something that he wants to hear about.
I think he was scared of that. I think he was scared to make moves. Honestly, he kind of acted a little bit passive, a little bit weak. King of Twitch on Twitch says, Tampa Bay James managed a $20 million budget. I had high hopes for James Click whenever he came to the Astros, because I think the Tampa Bay front office runs that baseball organization maybe better than any other organization in sport. The fact that they get what the production that they get for the dollars they have able to spend. And look, I have read up on Tampa Bay's organization. I knew about James Click back in the early, mid-2010s, whenever he was an assistant general manager in Tampa. What I hoped for was him being basically Andrew Friedman, who's now with the Dodgers. That you're going to come in with the knowledge, the wisdom to be able to operate like that, but then also to be willing to spend. Like, Andrew Friedman came from Tampa Bay. He's now the general manager in L.A., but he has no problem spending money. I wanted a souped-up version of James Click. I wanted James Click to have that wisdom, the smarts, to be able to get the most value for the dollar, but whenever it's needed to go out and spend the money. And James Click, I think, a lot of times operated scared and unwilling. To spend money, and that just wasn't going to work in a bigger market in Houston, unlike Tampa Bay, that's so small market.
I think the interesting thing, too, that he kept bringing up, he brought it up multiple times, was the name that we brought up in David Stearns. I just think that that's a name that won't go away. That's why when you and I were having the conversation, even when Crane said he expects to have a general manager by spring training, I think that might be a temporary general manager, and that might be a general manager that's worked with David Stearns in the past, because I think that whether he's president of baseball operations and has some glorified title like he had in Milwaukee, or if he is eventually going to get the general manager's title, he will be a guy that will end up being in Houston and being a guy that Jim Crane knows, trusts, communicates well with, and can believe in, will give you the best of both worlds, analytical and also eye test, and also come from a market where they are frugal and they are scrutinizing everything in Milwaukee, and you're seeing them cleaning house yet again. He knows personnel well enough to where he can continue to rebuild on the fly and be competitive. If he has money to play with and an owner that supports him financially, he could do so much more.
Yeah, I feel less confident that Stearns is going to be the guy than I did, let's say, 2 months ago, like when the day that Click was fired, or even like prior to that, whenever we heard rumors that Click could even be getting like a one-year deal, not brought back. I feel that it's still a possibility. It's still a name that could happen. I would say this, though, is the caveat, that if the Astros hire a real general manager before spring training, I think it eliminates David Stearns long term. Because I believe that the Astros, the GM that they do hire, if they do, before spring training, I really think they envision that guy to be the long term general manager. So if they go that route, I believe it eliminates David Stearns.
Yeah, and I can see that. I can understand you thinking that way. I just think that, look, I think Crane's a very savvy businessman, and I think there's many different ways to get to the ultimate result.
Sure.
And if David Stearns is a guy that he truly wants back in this organization, and he knows he's under contract in Milwaukee for this one final season, and Milwaukee's not willing to let him out, then I believe that there's a way that you can get around that, still get your guy, and then run the team and make the moves that are necessary for this coming season, in season, as we mentioned. That's trades. That's all the different things that happen during the season with your scouting department and otherwise, and the draft that you need someone there for. I think there's a way to do that and still get the guy if he truly is focused on Stearns.
Yeah, I don't think you need to hire a general manager. I think you can get by for a year with Jeff Bagwell, Enos Cabell, Reggie Jackson, Bill Ferkus, this Ken Giles guy who's the attorney for the Astros, who apparently Dusty Baker mentioned the other day. It's not Ken Giles.
No, it's
his first name's Giles. I forget his last name.
Giles Kibbe.
Giles, that's right.
I've dealt with him before.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah, apparently he's talking to Dusty Baker about organizational moves.
He is Crane's right hand on a lot of things, including everything from the Houston Open to baseball things to other things.
I pulled up his bio the other day. He's like head of the Open, and he's making baseball moves. Like, it's nuts what's going on with the Astros front office. I say all that, and we joke about it. We kid about it. I don't really think it's an issue, though. Like, I think that the Astros are just fine. Now, long-term, they need a guy, but they're just fine right now.
Their internal people already in place are fully capable of handling the things that Reggie and Jeff Bagwell aren't going to be involved in.
Right. Yeah, like AARP? Is that the stuff you're referring to that Jeff and Reggie are into?
No.
Old-school batting average, antiquated numbers?
I thought AARP was like a retirement insurance or something.
Yeah.
Baggy's not there yet.
He's close.
Reggie's close. There.
His shoulder's
Reggie's
there.
Already there. His Baggy's shoulder's not been there. There. I will agree with you.
Enos Cabell's there. Dusty's there. Crane's there. I mean, Jeff Bagwell's the buckaroo of the group.
Yeah.
He's the young kid of the group. Mm-hmm. That's why they like him so much. He's so young and full of energy when he's hanging out in those circles.
Well, I mean, look, I think at least Buster also was able to lend a little something to that, too, and say, hey, look, when you've got trusted baseball guys And Crane basically doesn't get enough credit for his grasp of everything going on in his baseball department. I mean, I feel more comfortable as long as Ferkus and the guys that need to do the things that I don't think they want to do, like the scouting department and the analytics and the things, are taken care of, then I'm feeling more comfortable like you. They can get by a year without him.
Oh, yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We mentioned earlier in the show the compromise on taking a quarterback 1-1. We never quite got there. I want to have that compromise because we know how I feel. Trade down, best player available, don't go quarterback at number one, at least not this year. I am willing to make a compromise, though. I'm willing to make a compromise at 1-1, but there's a few parameters I need to have. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're buying you dinner three times today to Federal American Grill. ESPN 97.5 today is buying dinners 10 times. They did two times during the bench, two times during Paul, three times for us, three times for the Wheelhouse. And now's your chance. Join us as we celebrate Christmas a little bit early with ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's Season of Giving. We're kicking off this holiday season. No false starts, by the way. No one jump off sides. We're kicking off this holiday season by giving a little extra back to our awesome listeners. Today, we're giving away $50 gift cards to Federal American Grill all day long. Dress up, dress down, bourbon or a beer, you can do it all. Ribeye or a burger, a fantastic place. Reserve the Federal American Grill today at any of our four locations. Caller number five right now to 713-780-3776. $50 to Federal American Grill. Caller number five. $50 gift card to Federal American Grill. Tune in all December long for our Season of Giving and head to ESPN975.com/season for more info on how you can get involved. If you didn't win right now, we're buying you dinner in the 2 o'clock hour as well, so make sure that you're on your toes. We'll be purchasing your dinner in the 2 o'clock hour as well. All right, so I don't want number one. I don't want a quarterback at number one. I don't want you to fall into the trap of quarterback at number one. I think the best way to build an organization is not quarterback at number one. I think it's trade down. I think it's build around the position, and then whenever you're ready to get the quarterback, then you go get the quarterback. History the last 10 years shows that quarterbacks that are the very best have really good teams around them from day one. That said, if you tell me there's no choice but taking a quarterback at number one, look, this isn't an anti-Bryce Young conversation either because I love Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud makes me a little bit nervous because he's throwing to first-round receiver, and he's making one-read decisions. Don't really love C.J. Stroud. Will Levis obviously has questions too because he didn't have a great season. Now, kind of elevated Kentucky a little bit, which I like. Bryce Young seems like he has all the intangibles. He's got the arm. He's got everything that you want. The clutch gene, it seems. Now he's small.
I was going to say, not all the intangibles. Well, the intangibles, well, yes, but not all the measurables.
All the measurables. Yeah. Like, he's got everything but
the measurables. Have you checked his hand size, sir?
See, that's what I was thinking about the other day, actually, was that everybody's like, one side of the mouth, Bryce Young. Other side of the mouth, small hand. If you're proclaiming Bryce Young today and then he has a small hand, does it change your mind?
See Kenny Pickett on line one.
I'm just saying, like, I don't believe that you're like this small hand aficionado.
If you can throw the football, you can throw the football.
Yeah, so you're not on that side, but assume that you are for just one second. Play pretend on the radio for one moment. If you were to believe that you don't think a quarterback with a small hand can succeed in the NFL, but all December, January, before the combine stuff, you're preaching Bryce Young, number one. And then it comes out he has small hands. Would it change your mind?
Maybe not completely, but it would concern me enough to where I would have to consider reevaluating my overwhelming support of Bryce Young if, in fact, I was a hand size matters guy. Yeah. I think that you would have to if that's something that you really believe. And look, there are general managers out there that firmly believe, just like size matters. And we've talked to, who's our guy, Randy?
Randy Mueller. About, yeah, he doesn't believe in
all the time. Yeah, and he's always talked about the measurables matter and small quarterbacks he does not believe in. And you've indicated in the past that Casario's track record looks like he might think that way too. Look, I mean, we're going to have these guys are going to be poked and prodded and nitpicked all the way through the process. The thing that I really like is just the intangibles for this kid in the way he thinks through the game, the way the moment's not too big, the way he knows where the ball needs to go and where it shouldn't go and what he should and shouldn't do. I think those are big for me, too, as well as the way he can throw the football, and he is athletic, although he's small.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm a big believer in Bryce Young.
Poncho says if the Willies don't agree with you about not taking a quarterback, then it's a good plan. Hashtag fade out. But here's the thing. I'm willing to compromise for a moment. Let's play pretend on radio. That I'm willing to give you the first pick. You can do whatever you want. If you want to go Bryce Young, you can have Bryce Young, with the compromise and the caveat that I need some parameters in place. Like, if you're going to go Bryce Young, okay, you can have him. I love Bryce Young too, so it makes it easier for me to be like, okay, decent compromise. I can get on board with that idea. And I think that there are multiple ways to cook the egg to become good in the NFL. I think the probability is lower, but I agree that there's multiple ways to build a team. Here are the parameters that I need. I don't even necessarily agree with the notion that the Texans' offensive line sucks. I think it needs work. I don't think that it's the Houston Texans' expansion offensive line. Heck, I even think it's better than the Cincinnati Bengals' offensive line when they drafted Joe Burrow and had him tear his ACL in his rookie year. So I don't really subscribe to that notion where the offensive line couldn't protect a franchise quarterback. You got bookend tackles with Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard. Now, you need to see development from Kenyon Green, mm-hmm. and maybe that's one of my parameters, an offensive line coach that can develop young players. I need a center. I need a right guard.
No question. I said
so
it yesterday.
Development from Kenyon Green, yep. A center, a right guard. Those are where my parameters start.
Doesn't matter
start.
Where you take them or how you get them,
improve.
But you got to go get them.
Improve.
Totally agree with you.
Improve. You're right. I don't care where you get them. You improve. Kenyon Green development, and maybe that starts with an offensive line coach that can develop youngsters. A center and a right guard. However you get it, I need improvement there. Secondly, I need more skill for Bryce Young to be able to throw the football too. I think Nico Collins can be a solid number two in the NFL. He can't be the number two receiver for Bryce Young day one when he steps into the NFL. I think John Metchie can be a good slot receiver in the NFL. He can't be the slot receiver for Bryce Young day one in the NFL, especially the John Metchie's coming off of, you know, leukemia. We hope everything's going all right with that. But it's a lot to expect for John Metchie that he's going to be good day one. It's going to take a little bit of time. You don't expect Brandon Cooks to be on this team. So I need to see a wide receiver one, and honestly, I think the way you take wide receiver one and the only way to do it is you draft them.
You have to.
You draft them with Cleveland's pick.
Because you don't want to spend $27 million a year and also have to acquire one or trade for one to go get one right now when you don't have a quarterback ready to throw to one and make all the right throws to where that $27 million could be return on investment right away.
Yeah, and look, that to me is the only place you can get it because you have cap space. You don't have $40 million to spend on a Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, A.J. Brown. And you also don't have the draft capital to trade for those guys because you have so many holes across the board. That's why these conversations in the past, like people need to think about the conversations they had in the past. People were talking about trading two firsts for Deebo Samuel or a first rounder for Deebo Samuel and then paying him $40 million. What? Like, that's not where the Texans
with a
are.
Quarterback, let alone a first-year quarterback.
Yeah, Davis Mills.
Where, you know, he's going to make enough mistakes that you're not going to maximize whoever you would spend that money and give up the assets to get anyway.
Yeah. I don't want my parameters to be too lofty here, so I'm trying to be, like, within the realm of possibility. Upgrade for or development from Kenyon Green, upgrade center, upgrade right guard. I need the Cleveland Brown first-round pick to be a receiver, preferably Quentin Johnson from TCU. I like him a lot. But I also need an upgrade at the number two receiver spot. He can battle out with Nico Collins.
And you might be able to get that in free agency.
Yeah, I think that's where you get it. Because I'm not even asking for that guy to be a stud. I just need him to be a veteran, a solid receiver that I can count on that's going to push Nico Collins to the number two receiver spot. If Nico Collins outplays him, great. And I had that veteran that could be my number three now pushing John Metchie. So if Nico wins the job, he wins the job. But I need another veteran on top of the first-round receiver.
You can also even work Nico Collins to different positions. Maybe you work Nico Collins a little bit out of the slot.
The final caveat that I need here is I need a head coach that is a very good offensive mind. I'm not settling on an offensive coordinator because if it's a very good offensive coordinator, what's he doing in a year? He's leaving.
Or is he getting the job? He could be the head coach in waiting.
No, I don't want to risk that. I don't want to risk that. I need an offensive coach day one with Bryce Young. I cannot surrender a year of Bryce Young under Lovie Smith,
much like Trevor Lawrence couldn't surrender a year under Urban Meyer.
Those are my parameters. If I'm willing to compromise with you that you can have your quarterback at one, you want it to be Bryce Young, so would I under this scenario. Some other people might want it to be Stroud. I doubt many people want it to be Will Levis, but I think that is on the table.
But you know that in negotiations, you don't get everything you want. But I can see all of those being something that we can negotiate through and get to a point where there's a happy medium and we can do what we need to do and get our quarterback. But I think that the one way that it might not be something the organization's willing to go that far on is if Lovie is in the conversation as someone that they want to retain,
yep,
simply because of that bad look and everything that goes with it, for the fact that two coaches in 2 years, two African-American coaches in 2 years, all the different things that they are hypersensitive about, that you could at least go the route of saying, hey, Lovie, we're going to keep you for another year, but we're going to pick the offensive coordinator, and the guy that you pick is going to be an offensive-minded coach in waiting type.
I'm out on that.
Okay, well,
I'm out on that. I need a head coach as the offensive mind that's going to hitch to the wagon of Bryce Young.
I think you're going to have to realize they're going to consider it.
If they don't, though, I'm out on quarterback at number one. I'm not drafting a quarterback at number one for Lovie Smith. Sorry. I don't even care who the OC is.
Well, but I think that that's something that they're going to think about. I think that
With you.
Yeah, I think they're going to look OC and try and dance around having to get rid of Lovie until he's been here 2 years.
So those are my parameters. I need to see improvement from Kenyon Green, probably an offensive line coach that can develop him. Upgrade at center, upgrade at right guard. Don't care how you get it, just an upgrade there. I need to see the other first-round pick
be a wide receiver.
Also need to see an upgrade at the number two receiver spot. If Nico beats him out, great. He's the number three. If John Metchie beats him out, even better. If he turns into your depth receiver, that's just fine. And I'm not free agency, I think, is the way to go there. But the biggest thing that I need to see is an offensive mind as the head coach. I'm not drafting Bryce Young at number one for Lovie Smith. The one thing that I missed, Blankers has it, 713-780-ESPN. What are your parameters? If you're going quarterback at number one, somebody's talking you into quarterback at number one, what are the parameters that you need for the Texans? 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. A big parameter, if you own a business that you need, it's HRMP, Human Resources and Payroll. It's Cougar owned by Mike Holly. He used to protect Heisman Trophy winners. Now he wants to protect you and your business. HRMP, members of the Cougar 100 for the eighth year in a row. You've seen the HRMP sign at U of H games. You've seen their building off the Beltway. And business owners, let HRMP help you. Let them protect you. Let them take care of your business in many areas. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HRMP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help. And they do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. Give them a call right now. 281-880-6525. And let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525. Or check them out on the web at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
713-780-ESPN. If you're not on the draft quarterback at number one camp, but you're willing to compromise it, what are the parameters you need? Or what are the parameters you need, even if you want a quarterback at number one? Young, Stroud, Levis, probably not in any of the conversations for fans. I think it is in front offices. I mentioned bringing a number two receiver. You know, even if it's a free agent, people are texting in Brandon Cooks. If you're going to...
I'm done with Brandon Cooks.
Exactly. Like, if you're counting on Brandon Cooks to give you anything next year, why don't you just rewatch how this year played out, where he flat out quit on you before anybody else
noticed
he quit.
Short of a cat with nine lives, you go back to the Mark Ingram situation, you go to how many times do you give this guy another second chance? I've seen enough. I've seen the body language. I've seen the pouting. We've had the press conferences, the lack of press conference showing ups, the lifts that you had to get in instead, which was weak, all the different things that he's done, getting his captainship script, all these other things. I've been through enough with Brandon Cooks that when you're looking for a fresh start with a franchise quarterback or not, the bottom line is Brandon Cooks should be playing elsewhere next season.
I just searched my Twitter real quick to remember that Brandon Cooks play where he quit on the Texans, but I couldn't remember the play after Mills threw that bad interception. It was the Bears. The Bears was week two, right?
Yeah.
He quit on the Texans in week two.
I think it was week two. I think it was.
Was it week three after Denver?
It was, yeah.
Indy, Denver, then Chicago?
Yeah, let me look up the schedule.
I think it was Indy, Denver, then Chicago. I think it was week three, now that you mentioned that, because Denver was their second game. They had the tie at home against Indy. They went on the road, lost a close game to Denver, and then they went to Chicago, lost another close game. Chicago was week three. Brandon Cooks quit on the Houston Texans in week three. I am not counting on Brandon Cooks to be the number two receiver for the Houston Texans. I'm not counting on Brandon Cooks to take up a roster spot on the Houston Texans.
Agreed.
Nick Caserio screwed up the trade deadline with Brandon Cooks after he screwed up the Brandon Cooks contract in a royal way. Brandon Cooks might be cut for free this offseason.
No, there was no reason to extend Brandon Cooks. There was no reason to even look at it. He should have done two things to kiss your rear end instead of you kissing his. And in return for doing what you didn't have to do, this is what you get. He's got to go. He's got from culture, my ass. I'm done with all of it. I'm done with the culture. I'm done with the, you know, he's our kind of guy. Screw all of that. Yeah. You know what? Let him be that for somebody else. He needs to be elsewhere with the influential locker room you're going to have with all these young players.
Caserio lost the trade deadline in 21, not trading Brandon Cooks. He lost the contract extension of Brandon Cooks in the offseason. He then lost the trade deadline for Brandon Cooks in 2022. And then Brandon Cooks, in the meantime, quit on his team, has been bashing his team once away from the Houston Texans. I'm not counting on that guy. All right, what are the parameters? Quarterback at number one, but what else needs to fall in place? I'm a big believer that for a quarterback to have success in the NFL, they have to be dropped into a position where a team is already very good, where they can elevate the quarterback as well as the quarterback elevating the rest of the team. I mentioned mine. Improvement from Kenyon Green, upgrade at center and right guard. I need a number one receiver, preferably with the Cleveland Browns pick. I would like it to be Johnston from TCU. I think he's a heck of a player. And then a solid veteran receiver that I can count on. Even if he gets beat out by Nico Collins for the number two spot, even if he gets beat out by John Metchie for the number three spot, somebody that I can rely on. And then I need to see an offensive-minded head coach as well to pair up with Bryce Young. You said, Blankers, that I missed one. What's the one that I missed here?
Tight end. I need a good receiving tight end that can give your quarterback the ability to have another option to succeed. Mike Mayer just declared from Notre Dame that he's the top tight end in the draft. I don't know if he slides to the second round, but in the second round, I might be considering a tight end, whether it's him or somebody else. I need an upgrade at tight end. I know O.J. Howard is a guy that they've worked into a little bit more of the system. I know that he was highly touted coming out, but I believe that there is a need for a tight end that can grow and develop and be an option for this quarterback, whoever it may be.
The one problem, if you add tight end to your list, it's very, very difficult to find tight ends who contribute right away in the draft.
Yeah.
If you need one right away for your rookie quarterback, you almost have to do it in free agency.
Yeah.
That's also a possibility.
Yeah, it is. I think to Blanker's point, though, like, you don't necessarily – he doesn't need to be, like, an all-pro day one.
No, not exactly.
It needs to be somebody that has room to grow with a young offense.
It's like the Rockets in the way you're developing all this young talent, and they're going to grow together, and eventually they all hopefully are going to hit their prime at the same time. You don't need him day one to be all-pro, but you do need him to grow with the quarterback – to work on the chemistry, develop the chemistry.
You don't think it's Quentin Tarantino?
I know.
O.J. Howard, remember he caught that touchdown in game one? Everybody's like, oh, O.J. Howard, baby. The Texans have a gym. You know how many catches O.J. Howard has on the year? Anybody want to take a guess on how many catches? Brendan put up his hand and said five. O.J., you're close. It is single digits, but it's a little bit more than five. O.J. Howard has 9 catches on the year.
But don't we also, like we say with everything else, have to take into consideration who's supposed to be getting him the football?
And no, sure, but Jordan Akins has 24. Like that, but that's also part of the problem. That Jordan Akins, you can make a case O.J. Howard's been better than Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan has one more catch. You can make the case that Tegan Quarantino has this great blocking tight end. Your best tight end this year is Jordan Akins. Probably your second best tight end has been O.J. Howard, and you found those guys a week before the season started. They were not on the roster a week before the season started, and they've been arguably your best two receivers. Jordan Akins has been your top
slap
tight
end. Talent evaluation to some degree, but
absolutely.
but also full credit to my point of you need a tight end for this kid, whoever it is.
Absolutely. 713-780-ESPN. What are your parameters? If you are going quarterback at number one, whether you want a quarterback at number one, whether you're like me and don't want a quarterback at number one, what are the parameters if you are going QB at one? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get Lee in here. Lee, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Lee?
Hey, with that parameter, go get Sean Payton to coach these guys.
appreciate the call, Lee. Here's why I'm out on Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton is slightly overrated. I don't think Sean Payton's Bill Belichick. Let's put it that way. I think Sean Payton's a good coach. I don't think he's an all-time great. I don't love the way Sean Payton left New Orleans. I think Sean Payton looked at what he had in New Orleans and said, this roster sucks and I'm quitting on the Saints. I don't like that. I don't want a head coach like that. But the most important reason that I don't want Sean Payton, he's under contract until 2024. It's
going
to cost compensation for you to get a Sean Payton, probably with a draft pick.
I'm not giving up a first.
No way.
I'm not giving up a second or a third. I'm not giving up a high draft pick for Sean Payton, especially because Sean Payton, at this point in his stage in his career, too, he doesn't want to sit there and take years to develop a quarterback and a system and a roster and do all those things. He wants to be in a plug-and-play situation where he has a ton of control, which Caserio's not going to want to give him, and he's going to want to have the weaponry on the roster already that he can get in there right away and succeed.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you must go QB at number one, what are the parameters? I'm willing to compromise here. You give me Bryce Young, I need all of these other things. I need improvement from Kenyon Green, new offensive line coach. Center, right guard, need to be upgraded. I need a receiver number one, maybe even a receiver number two. Blankers throws in tight end, which is a desperate need as well. But more importantly than all that, I need a quality, offensive-minded head coach. ABC Eric on Twitch says, my only parameter for drafting Young number one is getting an offensive head coach. I'm sick of watching Lovey week in, week out, standing on the sideline looking disinterested. I don't want Bryce to have to deal with that for a year. That's where I'm at on that as well.
Like, I don't think he looks disinterested. I think he looks bewildered, and I think he looks like, oh, crap, what are we doing?
I don't dislike Lovey. Yeah, I mean, maybe more defeated.
Yeah, defeated.
I think more defeated. I don't think Lovey's lost. I think Lovey's competent.
It's become bewildered lately, where everything just looks like, oh, this is happening on top of that.
Defeated was a better word. I meant like lost with what the hell do I do to fix this?
Exactly. I feel like that's where you went there, honestly. 713-780-ESPN. Aggie Matt, Aggie Matt's complaining about giveaways. I don't know why I'm reading your text, Aggie Matt. But he says, if we draft quarterback at number one, I think we need a true veteran and sign in free agency for first year. Learning under a vet has proven to be best for success. I'm imagining he's talking about a quarterback veteran. I don't believe you're drafting a quarterback at number one and you're signing Jimmy Garoppolo and then playing Jimmy Garoppolo over
or Teddy Bridgewater or whoever.
I don't envision that. Like,
because the last thing you want to do, too, is create a stumbling block for your said quarterback if they do okay, right? Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be, and if the quarterback is like a Sam Darnold type that thinks, hey, I did pretty well, I want to keep doing this, well, we kind of got a guy waiting.
Yeah, and also, like, if you think about it in recent history, like, the Houston example here is whenever Steve McNair was drafted very early in the NFL draft with the Oilers was still here, and he sat behind Chris Chandler for a year and played part-time duty. That was, 30 years ago? The recent examples of this were Pat Mahomes behind Alex Smith for a year when Alex Smith was winning division titles. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for a while when the Packers were still very good.
Young in Montana.
Young from Montana. And that's you're
older,
going back
but,
a little older.
Yeah, a really good quarterback sat and waited.
Winning team behind a good quarterback. Rodgers, winning team behind a good quarterback. Jordan Love, don't know if he's a good quarterback, but winning team, except for this year. Patrick Mahomes, winning team, decent quarterback. I don't really think that that's actually a realistic option anymore in the NFL, to sit a rookie quarterback behind a veteran. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Remo, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, good evening. But correct me if I'm wrong. You was talking about a receiver with the seventh pick. You want a receiver, but you also say get a veteran to be the number two receiver. I think Nico Collins is more than sufficient as a number two receiver. He's the best receiver on the Texans squad right now. Mm-hmm. And I just think you kind of overlooking Nico Collins, man. He's a good receiver.
I appreciate you.
That's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate the call, and I appreciate you putting me in my place. I think Nico Collins can be a solid number two receiver. I do agree that he's currently the best receiver on the Texans. I think he is elevated over Brandon Cooks because Brandon Cooks is disinterested, doesn't want to be here, and has quit on the Houston Texans. I believe that Nico Collins could be that number two receiver next year. But what if he doesn't take that next step? What if he kind of reaches his potential, reaches his ceiling? I don't want to spend all of this on Bryce Young where I'm giving you the first round draft pick, the top pick of the NFL draft, and you can have Bryce Young, and I'm relying on the ifs of Nico Collins taking the next step. I want there to be a camp battle for the number two spot. I'm not dismissing Nico Collins. I'm really not. I'm wanting him to earn the job, take the next step, and if he doesn't, I have the reinforcement there because I'm investing so heavily in Bryce Young. And here's the other thing, too. Like, for this to be successful, almost all of those things have to hit, which is like the biggest if amongst ifs. That's what makes it very difficult for me to go quarterback at number one. All of those things have to fall in place. And what are the chances of all of those things falling into place?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that I've been focused on is talent evaluation. That's why, because it's one thing to have the picks where you have them, to have the discussion of whether you go quarterback or not. Whoever you take better be a hit, not a miss. Whoever you take 1-1, whoever you take in the first round, heck, whoever you take in the first three rounds, better be guys that hit like you did in this last draft. You know what? You're not always going to find a Damian Pierce in the fourth round that's going to be your starting running back and do the things he's been doing, but he better damn well be a starter, be a guy that contributes from day one, a guy that you can believe in is going to be here for the next several years to help this team get better. Yeah. And if he's not, then it's clearly on the shoulders of the general manager.
You might have just mentioned another one, too, because you can't go into next season with only Damian Pierce as your running back. Like, you're going to need more.
But running backs dime a dozen now more in the NFL, to where you can free agent, you can find another
one. I'm not saying spend heavily. I'm not saying spend big money. I'm not saying spend a day one, day two draft pick. I'm saying it needs to get better.
Yeah,
I'm saying
sure.
The receiver has to get better.
Yeah, and that's where you're fighting Rex Burkhead's better and not include fighting Rex Burkhead.
In case we missed it, all the stories we've been dying to get to just haven't had the chance yet. But we do it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about my good friends at Apollo Men's Health. They are great people doing great things on a daily basis to help you get more energy in your life, or help you get on a workout program and see more results, to help you recover quicker if you're working out. The bottom line is, you're not trying to win a gold medal. You're trying to win the day. And maybe you're not finding any ways that are working for you. Now you can, through the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Both men and women are going there on a daily basis and finding ways to get more energy in their life, from B12 shots to all the different ways that they can administer hormone therapy. You can get more energy in your life on a daily basis. Want to work out and chart your results? Start with a full body composition analysis and do them every so often so you can see that you're making gains and strides in the right direction. Body fat going down, muscle mass going up, all the numbers are matching up. That's what you want to see. Want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies? They got that too. Check them out today. Two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston. Go to apollomh.com. Find out all the services they offer. See if a couple are right for you. And if they are, set up an appointment. When you go in, answer their questions honestly. Check out the things that they're going to tell you that they can do to help, and find out that if you follow them and stick with the plan, they're going to get you the results you're after. They're going to get you to your goals. They take care of people on a daily basis. And let's face it, folks, your health is your wealth. You got to invest in yourself just like you do the stock market. You need to go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com. And watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.